There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, put your mittens on your kittens and away we go. Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have y'all on for another couple hours of live local talk, which totals by the end of a given week here, like 56 hours a week, like that we do every week from our studios here at Airport and 65, locally owned company, locally staffed company, all those good things. So glad to have you on board. So we'll do my part here with Midday Mobile. As always, the phone number, the perennial 343-0106, 343-0106 for a phone call, or the very popular text line, 343-0106. And yes, everybody's ready, right? As always, I'm pushing you as well if you want to try something new, something fresh. You can leave me a talkback message using the FM Talk 106.5 app. We'll talk about that in detail coming up in just a little bit. Of course, I'm dealing with what I always deal with. I prepare for the show, and I've got lots of things listed, you know, that subjects to get to for all of us to talk about today. And then I get usually right here by maybe 30 minutes before showtime, I get distracted. I get it's a thing. I get distracted because there are some other stories I think need discussion beforehand. So I think I'm going to flip it around this way. And we are going to discuss some of the... I want to get to the story in Haiti. I want to talk Boeing today. Also, a couple stories about what AI, what they're doing in Europe with AI. Also, AI, if you want to ask AI who will win an upcoming election in your country. There's a story about that you can't do that. And we'll talk about some state news as well with Erica Thomas from 1819 News. So a bunch coming up. But before that, just some, what is the category in Jeopardy? It's potpourri. A potpourri of stories to get started here on Midday Mobile. All right. So, and they range from air ducts to alligators on this. The air duct story, and I don't know if you heard this. This is from Lacey Beasley over at Fox 10 TV. This is a serious crime committed. This is a serious fugitive, but the way they were hiding... Well, let me just read you the story, and then I'll ask you a question. All right, so the headline here, alleged sex crime fugitive found hiding in air vent. After being on the run for nearly a year, a man accused of 11 sex crimes against children, so in other words, we'll say dirtbag, was tracked down by fugitive hunters late Monday night. The fugitive recovery agent, Paul Stokes, said, if you miss court, it's serious. We're going to come get you. We're going to come find you. Hey, is fugitive recovery agent, is that our new term for bounty hunter? In our new language, right? The new vernacular where we're changing words all the time. Did bounty hunters get upset about being called bounty hunters? And now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's some nuance here, but fugitive recovery agent sure sounds like bounty hunter. What if it would have been Dog, the fugitive recovery agent? Would the show have been as popular? But it goes on and says, Brandon Howell was arrested in 2019, skipped trial last March. Multiple agencies have been trying to find him ever since. The agents at Metro Bonding were tipped off Monday to Howell's whereabouts. They said they found him at his mother's house in Bruton, peeking through a window. Okay, so I guess they see him there at first, but this is where it goes, where I want to ask you a question. The fugitive recovery agent, or bounty hunter, as my old butt wants to call him, said he was, so dirtbag, was hiding in an air vent that connects from the closet to his mom's room. He was actually holding the vent with his hands, and he was holding it closed, and he moved it, and you see him. Now, and they said Stokes snapped pictures of Hal being taken to Metro jail with dirt across his shirt from the air vent. So it So they got him. This is good. They got this guy, which is great. Thank you, bounty hunters or fugitive recovery agents. But I'm looking at the mugshot here that's on Fox 10. I had a thing, like, if you watch shows in the 1980s growing up, you had this idea that there were air vents that you could get. If you watch Die Hard, right, or TV shows, there were always these giant air vents that you could get in. I'm trying to, maybe the intake for an AC system, but like, you know, where they're crawling around at air vents, other than in a big office building or something, have you ever seen, I mean, I've worked a little bit in an attic. I'm being sarcastic, worked a lot in an attic. Never seen an air vent that you could get in, especially this old boy. I just growing up, I thought there were all these people, all these places to get in air vents, but I just never saw one that size. But here this guy is at his mom's house. I don't know why she has an air vent big enough to get big old boy in, but there it is. So, okay, that's one thing. So, open question there on the text line, or the phone line, but text line. Are there air vents big enough to be crawling around in homes out there? I'm missing something there, but maybe there's a explanation for that. By the way, too, this from the text line, Todd in Grand Bay, just giving us a traffic update. Overturned 18-wheeler southbound 43, turned into Chastain Landfill south of Mount Vernon. So that is southbound 43. Heads up on that if you are, coming towards Mobile. All right, so, yeah, so there's people, I don't know, I have not seen, so that's just an open question. I see some people answering it on the text line about the air vent. I just have never seen these in a home, an air vent you could get into. Oh, also, while we're talking about that kind of stuff, we have a story about people breaking into storage units. Right, this people, we can get to that later. They were not in an air vent. They were just in the storage unit. And then the alligator story. So yesterday, Mobile City Council meeting had, of course, what's gotten the majority of the news is the discussion of Comet Cowboys. And we can get back into that. Had on yesterday's show with John Sharp. But Comet Cowboys was, you know, and then we'll get to, hopefully, I'll tease what I'll talk to Dale Leash about, what I'll talk to him about tomorrow. And this is, after putting, almost $300,000 in the Civic Center, it looks like we are going to bulldoze it. Wow, a big surprise, right, when I told y'all that's exactly what would happen. But those discussions at City Council, the ones reported on, this one, not as much. Over at the website for MyNBC 15, so 15, 11 on your cable, it's an alligator story. So alligators back in the news, and I guess yesterday, in City Council, Mobile City Councilwoman Gina Gregory talked about an alligator during the council meeting. She says it's not the first time that an alligator has been spotted in Municipal Park. That is accurate. Alligators get in the lake at Municipal Park. They also get in the drainage that connects that. And from the west, also Three Mile Creek, that if y'all haven't noticed, comes out of Municipal Park Lake, that eventually goes to the Mobile Tensaw Delta there at the Mobile River. So this idea that, constituents had asked Gina Gregory about it, so she talked about it at the meeting. But it says, videos of an alligator at Langham Municipal Park in Mobile show the reptile sitting uncomfortably close to a popular walking trail. Now, I've walked that trail, the loop around the lake there. I would just suggest that this would be a benefit, that people who are trying to get their pace up, their steps or whatever, and get it with having a gator in the mix, I think is a good thing. There have been gators in, I guess I'm missing something here. Maybe it's just there hadn't been gator in a while. There's been gators at Municipal Park at the lake there off and on through, like back when I was a kid and goofing off at the park. Maybe you're maybe not shooting squirrels with pellet rifles in the park, that there were gators in it back then. So I don't know, but it made news yesterday. That was the one that didn't get reported as much as everything else that happened in city council meeting yesterday. Gator in the park, and it's close to the walking trail. So, all right, Chubby, pick up the pace. There's a gator out there in the mix. All right, with that, we'll go to Haiti. We'll go to Boeing. We'll go to Montgomery and a whole lot more when we come back right here on Midday Mobile, 343-0106. Yeah, Terry says, imagine that, alligators in South Alabama. I know. Well, here Terry, hold off on the break for a second. Terry, the only danger there is that yesterday I was inundated on my social media feeds and then by y'all on the text line about the tiger on the loose in Municipal Park. That would be more of an exception, right? nonplussed that there's an alligator there. If there would have been a Bengal tiger there, it would have been a bigger story. The number of people, and I don't, if you look at the picture that was floated around Facebook and everywhere, where you have a tiger with some kind of cane, right? Some kind of green growing cane. So looks like summertime on a waterway. Just because somebody put that thing up and said, hey, there's a tiger on the loose in Municipal Park, and you jumped at it. You jumped at it. You inundated me here on the text line with the tiger, because there was a $10,000 reward for the tiger. Everybody was. So the tiger would have made news. Like I often say, you know, in a couple weeks here, it'll be spring break, and there'll be all the stories about sharks on the beach, right? We did a flyover with the newscopter, you know, 11-teen, and we spotted sharks along the beaches of South Alabama. And I often ask, I said, well, where else are they supposed to be? They're just doing shark stuff. I've said over the years, that same shark ends up in the fountain at the mall. Huh, news story. Alligator in the park in South Alabama. I don't think news story. Tiger would have been a news story, but it's not. It's not real. So now we're through the potpourri category, and we'll get to the meat of the issue when we come back. Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:22 FM Talk 106.5. Thank you, Jay Bird. Jay Bird on the text line sends me a picture, too, of my favorite Star Wars character. My favorite. Probably for many of us, save it. I haven't watched all the other, like, the last, 15 years of Star Wars, but the big three, right? Always a Boba Fett fan. And Jay Bird sent a picture in and said, Boba Fett, fugitive recovery agent. I guess that's the, you know, as I read that story about the hiding in the air duct. But, Gary says, yeah, fugitive recovery agent is the same, but it sounds more important. Dr. Mariana said, oh, old boy, watch Die Hard one too many times. Good thing. Also, Dr. Mariana says, question is Gator identifies as a gator or a crocodile? God forbid we offend him. I'm going to say gator because I'm that way. My buddy Ben said, did his mother live in Nakatomi Plaza? Yes, I guess so. Also, local rapper on the text line said, did they freeze him in carbonite after the capture Boba Fett would have? Yes. It was convenient, too, right? When you freeze Han in the carbonite, then you can, you know, I mean, take him around the universe, right? You're trying to take him back to Tatooine, right, for Jabba. By the way, Michael says on the text line, the kids call him Al. Well, that's creative, Michael. The alligator at the park, they call him Al. I think it's Paul Simon in the background right now. He's sending me pictures of Al the alligator. The gator. I mean, gators in there. That's been happening forever. But Jerry in Fort Morgan said, how cool would it? Okay, well, this would have been. Jerry, don't start this, because this is like my Facebook page. Jerry says, how cool would it have been if there were a Black Panther? Okay, the Black Panther thing. Facebook and the Black, and maybe I have signed on to some of the pages on Facebook where the people send pictures of black house cats in, and constantly they're saying, man, I see them all the time. Don't start that with me. I can't do that right now. All right. Bill says, will the dirtbag's mother be charged for harboring a fugitive? Also, if I was facing prison, I could probably cram myself in a coffee can to hide if I needed to. Well, okay. I'm following. Bill, I'm sure she would be. If she was aware he was there. Okay. This texture says most vertical AC units in homes have a nice size space underneath for return air, but my fat butt could not fit in mine. Yeah, the return air thing, but they said it in like the duct work. Like, how do you, yeah, I don't know how you get, but I, But remember, if you grew up in the 80s or watched Die Hard, you thought that everywhere had giant AC ducts you could just crawl through. It was just big. And then I was watching No Country for Old Men the other day for my first time. I was the first person, the first time I ever saw it. I know everybody else in the world saw it. And the size of that duct there at the motel. I mean, it's just, I guess I grew up in a place that had smaller ductwork out there. All right, let's take it to Haiti here and the latest. This is, and it's worth talking about as well, as now I saw an update. I don't know how many, I have to pull back up, but U.S. Marines have been deployed and are on the ground in Haiti right now. You know, as they're getting Americans out of there, the HRT teams, you know, so you probably have special forces also operating there, but now Marines in on the island of Hispaniola on the Haiti side. So what's going on there? We talked a little bit about this yesterday. I think it is worth noticing because this is in our hemisphere. You know, this is Haiti. And we said it last week. There's bad and then there's Haiti bad, right? I said, you know, it's not Daphne bad is one thing. Haiti bad is a term, right? If it's bad, it's Haiti bad. And you look at Haiti, I guess I was, you know, focused back in the day on Haiti. For some reason, growing up, my mother made sure I knew about Papa Doc and Baby Doc Duvalier, right? Running Haiti in the 70s, right? So bad times there too. Dictators there. I mean, it's Haiti. Their track record is not good. But this is, I would say, I would argue, this is probably next level stuff going on in Haiti right now and worth us paying attention. But like I've said, we have Marines now. That update came. Marines are, I guess, on the ground in Haiti. CNN says the embattled Prime Minister of Haiti, Ariel Henry, said he will resign after weeks of mounting chaos in the Caribbean nation where gangs have been attacking government structures and social orders to the brink of collapse. Here's Henry yesterday.
The government I am running will remove itself immediately after the establishment of said council.
Okay, so they're going to get the council in, and that's going to pay. You have a situation where they don't believe in their government in Haiti. They don't believe in the government, right? Because they don't believe the way the power has been passed through there. They don't have faith after the assassination, which was, what, 2 years ago? And now you have basically the government of Haiti, in whatever form it was, leaving and filling that void. Or, I don't know, I heard a story, I think this morning, said as many as 200 gangs, some are bigger than others, 200 gangs operating in the country of Haiti, there on that side of the island, that are controlling things. Yesterday, Blinken spoke on Haiti as well.
A political crisis, escalating violence, unrest. This has created an untenable situation. The urgent action is needed on both the political and security tracks.
Okay. And in this part, I'm going to play a clip from Matt Gaetz here, Representative Gaetz, questioning a DOD Representative Rebecca Zimmerman about where those people that might flee Haiti go.
What are we doing to prepare for that wave and to ensure that these people are not paroled into the United States as the administration has done with people on the southern border, but instead are repatriated back at the dock at Port-au-Prince?
Congressman, we're doing a number of things to ensure that we're keeping track of the situation and we're prepared. At the moment, we have not yet seen large numbers, what we would characterize as a maritime mass migration. But we are alert to that.
Mass migration, though.
We are alert to that possibility. I think you're right that the driving conditions in Haiti could very well press more people.
Yeah, and we've had diasporas of Haitians making it to the United States over the years. I haven't heard it as of late, but it was a big thing in the 80s, right? You had Haitians crafting rafts and getting picked up by U.S. Coast Guard and being brought in the United States. There are, like, family in South Florida, spent a lot of time in South Florida. There's a legal immigrant Haitian community there, and there's people that end up becoming, I guess, patriated that got picked up during those, you know, those, it wasn't like the boat lift, but it was, I mean, just a lot of people on rafts getting out of there. So how many people do we offer the place for the Haitians to go? I mean, Dalton brought up the point this morning. Are we money ahead? I think we're talking about spending, what is $100 million right away in Haiti, which may be partially what's paying for the Marine Corps to be there. Are we money ahead to stabilize Haiti and keep the people there? We'll come back. We'll talk about that. Somebody said, have I heard of barbecue? Oh, yeah, I've heard of barbecue. We'll talk about Jimmy Cherizé, right? The head of the G9 gang, who said he is ready to make alliance with the devil. I don't know if the devil's operating there or if he's on en route, but we'll get more of what's going on in Haiti. This is in our backyard, y'all.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:34, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Y'all say hello to my buddy Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And so much to talk about. First of all, let's just get a midweek update on precious metals. You said it's been looking pretty good.
Yes, gold and silver, platinum, palladium are all up and still on a steady climb, which is it's good news for the people that are hedging and investing in gold and silver. Not always the best news for the markets and everything else, and the economy more than anything else, showing that a lot of people are worried, don't feel secure. All you got to do is look at how much money the Federal Reserve has tracked has been withdrawn in the last 24 months by people taking money out of the bank and either sitting on that and are investing it in other avenues. Kind of tells you the story right there. So we have lots of stuff in stock, gold, silver, platinum, palladium, all of it's in stock and ready. And if somebody has items that they need an appraisal on, we do free appraisals. They can be on jewelry, our coins, no charge. All we ask is they call ahead so we can talk to them about how many items they have before they show up.
Yeah, you know, which is cool because, you know, number one, giving people value things. Number two, if they're looking to take advantage of this rise in price, selling those things as well. But there's two things. I mean, silver and gold. We talk about that all the time. And y'all got me doing silver years ago because it was just better move for me because I only have so many dollars to turn in precious metals. But you then say platinum and palladium. And this is the thing you've given me an education on over the last year, why those have the value they do. And this is something I understand, y'all. Listen to Ron. So why? What are they doing with platinum and palladium? What drives that price?
Well, the price is mainly driven by the industry as far as cars, especially for palladium right now. I mean, platinum used to be used in catalytic converters, and they switched over to palladium, and palladium shot up from $299 an ounce to where it's at today. I mean, it's over $1,000. In fact, at the high point, it hit about $2,500. And it's based on how many people are buying cars. Of course, the interest rates are high right now, so car sales aren't at historic highs like they were about a year ago. So the market has settled down from $2,500 to about $15,000. But the industry does switch between platinum and palladium depending on, futures, because after a certain amount of time, it's worth them retooling to switch from one type of precious metal to the other.
I think that's – see, y'all, if you're like me, you probably raise an eyebrow if you haven't heard that before, and then you can get an idea of what drives prices. In this case, it's people buying cars and that drives the price of a precious metal that you can buy in Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. I like that kind of education. Y'all give that to folks when they walk in and say, man, I'm thinking about precious metals, but I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. They don't have to come in to buy or sell or trade. They can just come in and do some learning or just shoot it with us, talk about what's going on, coins, currency, if they have questions about how to collect, what to collect, things like that. We always enjoy talking to people.
All right. And gift giving, another round of gift giving season coming up. We got Easter and then we got Mother's Day and then whatever that is, dads and grads and all that stuff. So y'all got gift items for them too.
Absolutely. We got all sorts of things that are themed that way. Of course, for Mother's Day, it doesn't always have to be an engravable or 1 ounce silver engravable. Could be a piece of jewelry. We have things very affordable for youngsters that might want to get mom a nice pair of sterling silver earrings and things like that without breaking the bank. In many cases, well under $20 to pick up a nice little pair of sterling silver earrings for your mom for Mother's Day. And I mean, literally hundreds and hundreds of different options available. So dads bring the kids by and let them look through stuff and pick something out for mom that's not going to break the bank.
Excellent. Tell folks how to find you.
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can find us on the web at mobilebaycoins.com, or they can actually just come by the shop and say hey.
Thanks, Ron. I'll see you soon.
See you, Sean.
All right, there he goes, Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Get to a couple of these texts, then get back to the texts are about Haiti as well, except for this one from Chris in Orange Beach. Chris, I need that story. Chris says about ductwork. He said, I fell through the ductwork in Coleman Coliseum. Chris says, got to be part of a good story. Having spent some time in Coleman Coliseum over the years, when I was at the University of Alabama, I need these stories. I hope you're okay. But to me, just that one sentence, Chris, tells me there's a, like a bigger college story. We go, you know, so there we were in Coleman Coliseum in the ductwork. I'm interested. All right, Fire Dog here says, Haiti is on the list of places I would never want to go. I would take my chances in Afghanistan or Colombia first. And Fire Dog, somebody who has seen those places in representing our country, I don't know about Colombia, but to hear somebody like Fire Dog say he didn't want to go to Haiti, yeah, I get it. It's interesting, too, like the other side of the island, you know, people go, it kind of got to be, the Dominican Republic got to be a tourist destination. And I have friends of mine that did mission trips down there as well. And, you know, they would even say just Dominican, right? And they said it's pretty nice. All right. IT Jesus, let's see, said, not 100% true, but I had heard when I worked in New Orleans back in the 90s that there was a stat that the majority of the black population of New Orleans was Haitian. I don't know if that's... I'm sure there are plenty of Haitian folks, or Haitian, they're Americans, but coming from through Haiti, I mean, with the French, you know, there in Haiti, and obviously the French in New Orleans, I don't know if 100, I don't know how many. That's interesting. I don't know. Lisa says, Sean, I can say when we visited the Dominican Republic, okay, here we go. I didn't feel safe as there were people there kept speaking of constant upheavals, closing in on the Haitian-Dominican border. And by the way, Lisa, that brings up a question I have in a second. That was several years ago, and that side of the island is a dangerous place where gangs decide to dictate what their government will and won't be. Yeah, is it the rule of the people or the rule of the people in a gang? But the border you mentioned, Lisa, the Haitian-Dominican border, I wonder about that too. When I was listening to the stories, I heard Dan and Dalton talking about it this morning, that will there be a push? Is there, if the Haitian government is gone, right? If the Haitian government is gone, does that mean the Haitian military is not operating, and are they not there? What if Haitians go across the border and Dominican? I don't know. I don't know, but I did think about that border as well. I have never been there, even though I grew up in a house with a mother. I mean, I was probably 9 years old and could tell you about Papa Doc and Baby Doc Duvalier. I don't know why, but that was the thing. All right, so back to this story. So you've got Henri, we call him Ariel Henry here, but I guess Ariel Henry, prime minister, saying who's been out of the country, right? But he's going to step down after they get this council put together. Who's going to be on this council? Because that brings up the barbecue guy, right? Haiti's most notorious gang leader, known as Barbecue, may be the most powerful man in the nation. So, and this was from earlier this week. This story came out like Monday, I think. This is when he said, so Barbecue, who was born Jimmy Chirizier, leader of the notorious G9 and family gang, is in command of the bulk of the gunmen, stirring anarchy in the capital, and he vowed to fight until embattled Prime Minister Ariel Henry resigns. He said, I'm ready to make an alliance with the devil, ready to sleep in the same bed as the devil. Chirizier told his supporters last week his fighters destroyed police stations and government facilities. Some claim the rifle-wielding 47-year-old mobster's nickname comes from his penchant for setting his victims on fire, though he says it's an old moniker his mother gave him as a boy. Now, if you look at the internet, they've told you that he is cooking and eating people. Which, if you are a gang leader bad guy, because I saw people going, can you believe he would let those stories go out there without refuting them? Listen, if I'm a bad guy... If I'm a Haitian, remember we have regular bad and we have Haitian bad. If I'm a Haitian gang leader, I want the reputation. Not only do I kill you, I cook you and eat you. I want that. Do I think he's doing that? Probably not. But is that good PR? If you're a Haitian gang leader, I think it's great if you're a Haitian gang leader. Now, further down a story from the New York Post, it says, Barbecue, Chirizier, likened himself to Martin Luther King Jr. during an interview with the New Yorker last year. Okay. And he was previously a member of the Haitian National Police, right? So he defected from the police, becomes a gang.
I don't know if barbecue realizes that, like, killing people, like killing lots of people, doesn't qualify as nonviolent. Maybe they don't teach the right things in the Haitian schools, but, like, because you go kill people, that I think really messes up you being like Martin Luther King Jr. Just saying. So this guy is, and there are other gangs I've read about. There's other gangs, but they're all fighting for power right now, probably to be sitting in the right seat to take power, right? So if you have this vacuum, right, and power abhors a vacuum, you've got the barbecue gang out there. They're the biggest, trying to be in a place that if they're going to decide who's going to run the country, that they have the most people scared of them or supporting them or whatever. But if you're other gangs out there, I think you probably step up and try to get you a slice of that pie. Now, the other side of this, like I said, is our involvement. There's what's going on in Haiti. Why do we care? Well, we care, number one, like talked about how many people from Haiti will flee to the United States. Number two, as I saw earlier before I came on the air, that we have Marines in Haiti. I don't know if I have an update on that. U.S. Marines in Haiti. I don't know how many. Let's see. Let's get this. Here's our update. Let's see. Okay, Washington Post just put this up in the last hour. Here we go. This is the latest update. United States has sent a specialized Marine unit, I'm sure it's the HRT, folks, to help secure the U.S. Embassy in Haiti as the country struggles through political transition. They're transitioning. Oh, what a nice term. But yeah, so we have Marines on the ground there. God bless those Marines. Says U.S. Southern Command, which coordinates U.S. military activity in the region, said today it's deployed a Marine Fleet Anti-Terrorism Security Unit, or FAST, that's the acronym, to, quote, maintain strong security capabilities at the embassy in Port-au-Prince and conduct relief in place for our current Marines at the request of the State Department, end quote. Says dozens of FAST Marines, that's the acronym, based in Yorktown, Virginia, took part in the embassy deployment. So, and I know folks are holding on the phone. We'll get to you on the phone lines at 343-0106 in just a second. It says, so that's the update there. But it doesn't give me a number of the Marines that are in Haiti right now, but they are there. So, they're flying out our people there. But it wasn't just, I know that the discussion of Mitch Albom this morning during the morning show, and good for Mitch running an orphanage down there. But getting lots of Americans out, I think, you know, we have a job to get the Americans out of Haiti. But beyond that, you know, how open do we open our doors? I would say to the Haitians, with a little bit of cynicism and sarcasm in this, understand me, that your best route to get in is not trying to get into Miami or get on a raft and get picked up. It's somehow get on the raft and go to Mexico and then just walk on in the United States. Probably best move to come in with the Chinese nationals and the Iranian assassin and all those others coming in as well. Joshua says a cannibal leader. The cannibal thing. Okay. Joshua said cannibal leaders in Haiti. Looks as though Idi Amin, once leader of Uganda, was not the only cannibal leader. It crosses oceans in modern day. Joshua, I'm just saying this. I'm going to say Occam's razor tells me he's not actually a cannibal. I mean, I might be proven wrong, but I would suggest that if I am a gang leader in a place as violent as Haiti, if they want to start a rumor that not only I kill my enemies, but I cook them and eat them, I don't fight back against it. But it's not like he's a Sunday school teacher, right? And he needs to keep up. I mean, he is leader of a Haitian gang. So if they want to call you barbecue and say you cook people, I'm like, yeah, that's right. Back off. All right. Go to the phones at 343-0106. And Charles is in Pensacola. Hey, Charles.
Hey, I just looked up the Dominican Republic and Haiti a week or so ago on YouTube. There's some interesting information on it. I had been interested in Haiti for a long time because what happened, how Haiti gained their independence was...
Yeah, that revolt.
Napoleon was, and France controlled Haiti, and when Napoleon, they had a slave uprising about the same time of the Louisiana Purchase, And that's one of the reasons Napoleon sold Jefferson the Louisiana Purchase, was because he wanted to get out of the Western Hemisphere. Now, I think it's interesting. Am I still on?
You are.
Okay. I think it's interesting that Haiti is the has been ruled by black people since the slave uprising, and I believe it was around 1776.
1791. I think the revolt was in 1791.
Yeah. So almost the length of time as our Constitution. Yet, if you look at the facts, it's been an elite group of black people that have run the same family. So that's what happens when the mafia gets control. And this, in this case, it's the black mafia. They don't want to give up power because they had this slave uprising, which they led. And then all of a sudden, they're in control. They say, well, you people aren't smart enough to rule yourself, so we're gonna run things. But they're the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, it's also, I don't know whether you mentioned this or not, but Dominican Republic is building a wall between Haiti and
I did not
Dominican
know that.
Republic. So I think that's interesting that even the Dominican Republic is smart enough to build a wall to separate themselves from a bunch of radical, you might call them communists. That's what it's really about. It's a typical communist takeover. Riding in the streets, and eventually they'll put a dictator in again. And
well, that won't
be
communism. Yeah, it won't be communism. It'll be totalitarian. I mean, that's the same thing that the Duvaliers and others did, right? They find a power vacuum when things are so bad, they step in and said, we can make things calm, right? And in doing they take power.
Whether you call it communism, fascism, whatever ism you call it, including federalism, is still totalitarianism. So the tactics are the same to bring about both. And eventually that's what happened in Russia. That's what happened in China. You can go back and look at the history of a typical socialist communist takeover, and they use the same tactics.
Yeah.
Divide, you find, conquer, create anarchy, and then wind up being claiming to be the People's Liberation Army.
Yep. And I mean, you're right. It's happened many times before. Will that cycle continue? In Haiti, we will see. Charles, appreciate the call. Leaves the line open at 343-0106. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Now, listen, I know, like, a friend of mine, Superbomb, and others on the text line are saying, well, Shirase has denied that his nickname, Barbecue, came from accusations of setting people on fire. Instead, he said this is from his mother having been a fried chicken street vendor. Who knows? I'm with you. I saw that story as well. I'm just saying. The thing that, you know, this is what you tune in here for. You don't get on the nightly news. I'm just saying, if you are a Haitian gang leader, and there's a story floating around out there calling you Barbecue because you cook your enemies after you shoot them, that's better street cred than mom was a street vendor, right? I think if you're looking at the things, if you're looking at the your resume to be a Haitian gang leader, it's probably not a horrible thing for you to be thought of as somebody who cooks their enemies. Just saying. It's a kind of different thing. He's not a Sunday school teacher, so probably that's street cred out there. All right. I'll start this story. We're going to have Erica Thomas, 1819 News, is back with us, and she'll be on here a little bit after 1 o'clock. After 1:30, we can talk more about this Boeing story. You've been following this in the news, and I will take the harder road, the easy road is to say that this guy got suicided, right? This guy got Epstein'd, maybe. But I'm not going to say 100%. I know what happened here. But what he had to say is very interesting. We're talking about this John Barnett, a guy that worked for 30 years at Boeing, who was a whistleblower about the safety failings. I'm going to play a little clip here. We got time. Okay, we don't have time for the whole clip. We'll play this at 1:30. It's a clip from, he was on TMZ. Which I don't know why that's where we, be good for TMZ. They often get some pretty big headlines. You know, it's what TMZ stands for, what, 30 Mile Zone. It was a website and a show about Hollywood celebrities. But quite often they get stories that the major news doesn't get. But they interviewed him, this whistleblower. And when you hear this, coming up next hour, when you hear this, his description, what he said was going on at Boeing. He was a, here's a story. NBC says a former Boeing quality inspector who filed as a whistleblower complaint over alleged plane safety flaws was found dead from what appears to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound, end quote. Officials in Charleston, South Carolina said that Monday. John Barnett, 62, of Louisiana, who spent more than three decades at the aircraft manufacturing giant, sounded alarm with aviation authorities back in 2017 about what he said were potentially catastrophic safety failings. His family said in a statement on Monday he had tried to highlight serious concerns but was met with a culture of concealment that valued profits over safety. In this thing that you'll hear it next hour, you know, they're talking about the door plug. And they ask him, I think the first question is about the door plug. And this Barnett guy's like, that's like the tip of the iceberg here. And then he goes through what he said was going on. Now, mind you, he was a safety inspector, a quality inspector at Boeing. I don't know if he was let go for, but what he was focused on, as he said at Boeing, this is what he said, and you'll hear the audio, that he said they had changed at Boeing. Instead of having quality inspectors come through after the mechanics did the work and check, right, which is it's pretty common to do, that they said they just let the mechanics inspect their own work. And he said that was a big deal. And then he lays out some stuff, too, about how they were doing the door seals and using Dawn dishwashing soap and some other things. We'll get to that coming up at 1:30. But Erica Thomas, 1890 News, joins us in just minutes right here on Midday Mobile.